Well, we are continuing our series of messages from the Believe series, the Sunday school class downstairs, the youth class. We've all been studying together on these important aspects of Christian discipleship. And if you've been following, we've been dealing with some important subjects as far as our understanding as to who God is and our relationship with Him. And today we want to zero in on the subject matter of at hand, which what we call humanity. Now, when we think about humanity, we know that's a pretty broad subject, very broad, because you and I are members of that group. We're members of humanity, and we are part of this human race. God has chosen to put us here, and we're here. With all our wrinkles, with all our shortcomings, with all our good qualities, with everything we have, we are here. And we're part of the human race. And, you know, we're not spiders, we're not lizards, we're not elephants, we're human beings. And the Bible says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Fearfully and wonderfully made. That is so awesome. That is so powerful to think about that, how God looks at us and says, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. So, what we want to do this morning, we want to read this verse together, and we shouldn't even need it up there because we all should know this verse anyway, John 3:16. Let's read it together. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life. So this morning, we want to tackle another key question. All through this series, we've been having what we call a key question. We've had a key idea. And we have a key scripture verse that we're to take home and we're to munch on and hopefully let digest a little bit and settle in our minds and our thinking and our hearts during the week. And the key question today is this: how does God see us? How does God see us? When he looks down at you and I this morning, how does he see us? Does he see us as people who are rich, poor? Does he see us as individuals who are, who have it together, who don't have it together? How does God see us? And if you read the Bible from cover to cover, the wording of our key idea, so we get the key question, the key idea is before us as well. And that is the key idea, sums it up beautifully as to how God sees us. The key idea is, I believe that all people are loved by God and they need Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's the key idea that we want to focus in on this morning. And let's not make this any harder than it needs to be, because our key verse, as we just read it here, it's John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I like the King James Version. He gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So, the key question, the key idea, and the key scripture before us. Well, I want us to take in two parts and dig a little deeper into our text this morning in John 3:16. You know, how many times have we ever quoted that verse and we just don't seem to stop and ponder what it's really saying to us? That God so loved the world. And so, you know, our key idea is that I believe all people are loved by God. All people. All people are loved by God. For some of us, that may be a little hard to digest. For some of us, it may be a little difficult to put into practice in our daily lives, but you cannot escape that truth that all people are loved by God. And John 3:16, it says it very clearly, God so loved the world that whoever believes. So you may not see yourself as a somebody necessarily. Some of us have a little bit of a poor self-concept as to who we are. And sometimes we may not see us as important or significant or as a somebody in life, but you are a whoever. You are a whoever. Well, whoever. There's another word that's used that really goes against my thinking, and a word I hate. People say, whatever. Whatever. You ever hear people say that? Oh, that kind of irritates me a little bit when I hear people say that. Whatever. But God says, whoever. Whoever. And so, you are a whoever. You are a whoever this morning. Did you know that? You are a whoever, so is everyone else. Everyone else. Whoever. I guess you got to stop and think about it. On Friday, once again, our country faced another school shooting. And it was a terrible, terrible tragedy once again. People are asking, when in the world are these school shootings going to stop? Will they ever stop? Is it safe even to send your kids to high school today, to elementary schools? I don't think I'd want to do it over again, to raise kids and send them to the public school system with the way things are right now. It's very dangerous when you have to think about, having to go through layers of security. I remember a few weeks ago I went into the Bodenham School up here, and that door is locked tight. You've got to go in just one way, and it is secure, and I was thankful for that. I was given some personal rest and peace knowing that they watch everybody that goes in and out those doors. And so I felt very secure that way. But the fact is, in our world, humanity is being looked at as being cheap. That life has no value anymore, it seems. And that's a tragedy. That really is a tragedy. That life is not looked at as being valuable. The fact is, you and I, as a whosoever, whether you want to use the King James or what, you have value. You have value. The unborn has value. People in other social, political circles have value. All humanity has value. Why do they have value? Because they've been created in the image of God. In the image of God. You and I have been created in the image of God. Now, we are fallen creatures. And in the Garden of Eden, it was really messed up because of man's sin, because of man's falling from grace. And so we've been paying the price ever since. But we thank God that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to redeem us and to give us the hope of eternal life, to restore us back to the Father. But we all have value. And I believe that one of the signs that this world is really out of control is the fact that life has been cheapened drastically. And life no longer has value, even by politicians, I'm afraid. And that's sad. But John in his gospel goes to great lengths to make this point that we have value. And John uses the word all. And whoever or whosoever. We get it, John. John tells it as it is. God loves the all and the whoever. The whoever. So, That is, I mean, I probably don't even need to remind you of this. This is something we know anyway. The fact that we have value. Some people can see how God loves other people, but not them. He does. He does. Some people can see how God loves them, but not other people. He does. He does. The point of God's word is that the fact is of God's nature. God's nature tells us that He is all-loving, that He is all-consuming, that His love is unconditional, that His love is free, it's a gift, and that His love goes across every boundary there is to every little nook and cranny of His creation to express His love. The fact is, do we understand the claim of God's nature? Do we believe it? And why is it important? Well, that leads us to the second point. The fact is, as our study this week has confronted us on, the fact that we need to see people the way God sees them. We need to see people the way God sees them. When we look at one another in the eyes, or when we look at a down and outer, or somebody that's going through a rough time, or a street person, do we see that person as God sees them? Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we don't. If you were to live in Southern California, where the average income is, $100,000 a year, that's probably cheap, that's probably low. But in the Silicon Valley, where we have all these guys that are so educated and so rich through technology and all the new things that are coming up, you know, $200,000-$300,000 is nothing. And they certainly look at life differently than the way we look at life. You know, they come to a place like Bodenham and they'd look at us and they'd see us as being pretty poor and downcast, maybe, I don't know. When I was in Honduras a few years ago, I went there not knowing what to expect and saw people living with dirt floors. Saw people who had straw roofs. Saw people who barely could get enough food together for the run of a day. Pastors that were making maybe $30 a month for salary. And that was something that really gave us a burden. But they were the happiest people. They were the most joyful people. They didn't have much, but they had joy in their hearts. And they viewed life as being valuable. So we need to see people the way God sees them. John recorded Jesus' words in John 3:16. You know, and this is one verse. But if you have your Bibles, turn with me to three or four passages that I'd like to point out to you this morning. That'll help us to understand this very central, important biblical truth. That we need to see people the way God sees them. If you look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 11, this is what John says. It's a great verse of Scripture. Dear friends, John says, since God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. To love one another. James, the half-brother of Jesus, in the book of James, James chapter 3, verse 9. If you want to turn to that passage and write it down, whatever, but this is important. With the tongue, James says, we can praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we also can curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. So there's either two choices we have. We can praise God, our Father, we can praise Him for His creation, we can praise Him for His goodness, for His grace, for His love, or we can curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness and in His image. There's a lot of cursing going on today. There really is. Because there's a lot of inhumanity happening towards one another, towards fellow human beings. And so he's saying, if we curse or wish ill on any human being, it's an insult to God. It really is. Who made them. It cancels out your Sunday worship. So you go to church on Sunday and you praise God, and then you go downtown Portland and you see some of these guys standing with street signs begging for food or for change or for money, and you hurl an insult out the window at them. James says, that's not being consistent. That's not being godly. That's not where it's at. Now, I realize these people, we had a conversation on this morning in the adult class. I realize that this is not, you know, there's a whole lot of social problems and there's a lot of emotional and psychological issues and things like that with these people. But how dare we praise God one day and go out the next day and we negate, basically, our worship to God. So if we're honest, we might sense that Jesus is pressing the envelope just a little bit. And maybe he's being a little bit extreme and unrealistic with us, but no. Because in Colossians chapter 1, this is what we hear Paul say. Because really, when it comes right down to it, if you're a Christian now, you were once in this position yourself. You were once in this position. No, you weren't standing on a street corner. But he says, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. That's how he looks at it. That's a great verse. We were once enemies of God. Before we came to Christ, we were enemies of God. Now that seems a little difficult, hard to reconcile. How can we be enemies with God? Because isn't God supposed to love us all? Well, we were enemies in position because of our sin. Because of the fact that we were not yet born by the Spirit. And so Paul is saying that we were enemies of God, you know, and symbolically shaking our fists in his face by living contrary to the laws of God. God didn't meet us halfway. He went all the way to bring us back to himself. He didn't just go part way. He went all the way to bring us back to himself through Jesus. And so think again about Jesus' request. He is only asking us now to do what he first did for us. And even though we were enemies of God because of our sinful plight, because of our separation from God, he still loved us. And there's a scripture verse that says, you know, not that we loved him, but that he first loved us. He first loved us. He loved us even before the foundation of the earth. Before the world came into existence, God loved us. And he loves us now. He loves us this moment. And he will always love us because God is love. God is love. And so this is what he's done for us. And then there's one other verse of scripture from Galatians 3:28. There's neither Jew nor Gentile. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male and or female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. This, is, of course, points to our relationship with God. after we've come to Him in faith. In our day, we might say, for the Christian, there's no black or no white, no rich, no poor, nor, you know, a man or woman. We all have equal value at the foot of the cross. We can also add, there is no more single or married, young or old, born or unborn, disabled or able, fat or skinny, sick or healthy. God loves us all anyway. He loves us all anyway. So, that's important for us when we think about people who don't come to church, when we think about people who have no relationship with God. We're to think about them as having value, as having value in the image of God. And then our third and final truth we want to point out this morning is this, that the measure of our love for God is found in the measure of our love for people. In other words, God is saying, well, if you love me, you're going to love people. If you love me, you're going to love your neighbor as yourself. That's the greatest commandment, right? To love the Lord our God with all our hearts, with all our minds, with all our souls, and then to love our neighbor as ourself. You see, we do not measure our love for God by looking at how much you love God. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. John lays this out. In 1 John, he says, whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. A liar. For whoever does not love his brother and sister whom he has seen and cannot love God whom they have not seen. So if you say you love your, if you hate a brother or sister and then you love God, you're a liar. You're a liar. Calls it as it is. That's the way it is, I'm afraid. It's pretty hypocritical. Several years ago, the George Gallup Institute did a national survey on the spiritual state of the Union. The spiritual state of the Union. Now, I'm afraid if he did that survey again, it would probably have different results. And he compared those who had professed to be Christians and those who did not measure up against some of the things we've been talking about. Those who were Christians ranked humanity as their strongest belief, yet their weakest belief was gentleness and patience. Interesting. Patience. And how many times have we heard people say, Lord, you know, I can love my neighbor, but I just don't have much patience with them. I can love my neighbor, but I'm not very gentle with them. You know, I remember one time we had neighbors, and their pets were always coming over in our lawn. Messing on our lawn. Anybody ever have a problem with that? And it kind of, you know, put the, you know, it was, we were really tested a little bit because our neighbor was, you know, not only an agitator, but he was an aggravator in so many ways. And so one day I went over and spoke with him. And I said, look, we've got a problem here. And he said, yeah, all right. Let's talk about it. You know, any way you can keep your dog back on your own lawn? Any way you can just kind of help us out a little bit? Because, you know, I'm really proud of my lawn here. And this is when we lived up in Caribou. We really... had a problem with that, and they just seemed to come over all the time. And so finally, he got an electric fence, and the dog was kept back on their property. Now, my wife and his wife just struck up a little bit of a friendship because my wife, after I went and had this talk to the neighbor, she made a nice rhubarb strawberry pie and took over to her. Now, whether that was bribery, I don't know. But it was, they sure loved that pie. And we struck up a good relationship. And so sometimes it's not easy to be good neighbors. And sometimes it's difficult to love the unlovely. And even to this day, that guy has kind of a sour spirit. And you have to take the initiative and just kind of, you know, help him make his day better. By your conversation, by your attitude, by just being kind. And let me tell you, kindness went a long way. It really did. So, the fact is, God tells us that this is important for us. As we look at the second part of the key idea, people's need, greatest need is for Jesus Christ. Greatest need is for Jesus Christ. The measure of our love for God is found in the measure of our love for people. And the fact is, how much do we love people? You know, how much do we really love people? Our mission here at Second Baptist Church is to love people and to take as many people as we can to heaven with us. That is what God has called us to do. We cannot love people by hurling insults. We cannot love people by throwing remarks of judgment against our neighbors or people that are down and out, people that don't have what we have. We can't do that. God has called us to a higher level, to a higher plane. So, something for us to remember. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I was told not too long ago that the average life expectancy in the U.S. is somewhere around 78.8 years of age. Let me ask you, what is that in the face of eternity? What is that? The person who does not believe in Jesus Christ is not really born of the Spirit. The person who does not believe in Jesus Christ will not experience eternal life. In other words, that person is not going to heaven. That person is not going to heaven to be with God if they do not believe in Jesus Christ. But say that person lives to be 500 years, or Methuselah was what, 968 years or something like that? He lives a long time. But, if that person lives 900 years, what is that in the face of eternity? You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that that is but a vapor. If it's 5 years, 50 years, 500 years, 5,000 years, that life is but a vapor. It is here, and then it's gone. Just like that. And so, it's pretty profound. Pretty profound, especially as we think about this as believers. Some people think, well, I need to clean up my act. I need to, if I'm going to go to church, then I have to look good. I have to dress right. I have to have the right words to say. I have to have the right actions. No. God says, come as you are. Come as you are. In spite of all your issues in life, you don't need to clean up to come in. You come in to clean up. Right? And come as you are, knowing that God has no intention of keeping you there. Every single person hearing my voice, you're welcome here just as you are. Just as you are. You're not expected to dress up in a shirt and tie or any particular way on a Sunday morning. You're not expected to be able to go through certain formalities or anything like that. You come as you are. because, not because of who you are or we are, but because of who Jesus is. Jesus welcomed everybody. Jesus welcomed. He welcomed. And we ought to be welcoming as well. So, three things here today. That we value all human life. That we look at life around us and we value it. No matter who they are, where they're from. Number two, that we see and treat people the way God sees and treats people. That's what we got to do. That's a lesson that we need to learn. And number three, I am compelled to tell all people about Jesus. About what God has done in my life. God has called me to be responsible in telling others about Him as well. So with that said, let's ask that God would help us to do just that. And to think when we see people, when we encounter people, even people we don't like, that we look at them as though God was looking at them through us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've placed us on this planet and you have called us to love as you have loved, and you are loving. Thank you that you are a loving God. Thank you, Lord, that we can look at people and we can see them and we can experience your blessing in their lives. Thank you, Lord, that you have called us to make this world a better place through loving people as you have called us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we want to close up this morning as we stand and sing.